tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 3rd of June, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I want to take a look at bannings. And normally we hear about right-wing people being banned from speaking somewhere. I mean, we did recently hear of Kanye West, and he was banned from playing at a festival. In Britain, of course, Kanye West, even though he's black, I guess you could say he's quite right-wing in the things that he says. He was banned from speaking in England because of his anti-Jewish comments that he may have made in the past, or anti-Israel comments. And then we recently saw all these centre-right speakers that were banned from coming to Britain for Tommy Robinson's Unite the Kingdom rally. A number of people were banned from coming, including a Polish politician. And they're all people that are sort of on the right wing. Now we have people on the left wing that are being banned from coming into the country, essentially because they've been critical of Israel. And although I don't like to see anybody banned from entering a country, and I support free speech, I think this could have like a silver lining to it. I mean, it could show these people on the left just how it feels to be banned from speaking for something that you may have said in the past, just for having your political views. I mean, it shows you that a country is clamping down on free speech, that we're not as free as we like to think we are. We're not a free democracy when we are not allowed to hear from the people that we want to hear from. We're not allowed to hear certain people speak. Their ideas are considered too dangerous and not good for the common good, effectively. So they're just saying, well, we've decided that we don't want you to hear from this person, which goes against the UN human right, the right to share information, the right to share information across borders. Because they're saying here, we don't want you to have this this information, and we're going to prevent this person from coming to the country to speak to you, even though there's lots of people that want to hear from them. Of course, this comes on top of the left wing essentially doing the same thing to people on the right, particularly on Twitter. You used to have people saying things on Twitter, and they'd have followers, and followers would want to hear what that person is saying. And then you would get somebody on the left that would report you, and there'd be a campaign to get you removed from Twitter. If somebody doesn't want to hear what somebody else is saying, all they have to do is block them or don't follow them. If you don't follow them, you're not going to see their tweets. Yet the people on the left were just incensed that other people could hear what they wanted to hear, even though them on the left didn't want to hear it. And they got people banned. And now you've got the same thing that's happening on the left. You've got left-wing people that want to hear from a left-wing speaker, and they're being denied the right to hear from that person that they want to hear from. And it's not like Keir Starmer is forced to hear what this person is saying. If he doesn't want to hear it, he doesn't have to hear it. Why should he, though, have the right to veto our what we want to listen to? And this article, this first article that I've got, because I've also got another article which deals with the banning of the Alternative for Deutschland by the EU. This first article comes from GB News. The headline is Home Office Bans Hateful Far-Left US Influencer Hassan Piker from Entering Britain. Far-left American influencer Hassan Piker has been barred from entering Britain after the Home Office deemed his presence not conducive to the public good. Well, if the government are going to start banning things which are not conducive to the public good, how about they start banning things like pornography? How about they ban divorce? How about they ban grooming of children through drag queen story hour and teaching children all about homosexual activities from a young age and telling them that there are 100 different genders? And I don't think any of those things are conducive to the public good. And yet we're allowed to have all of those. They only ever use this phrase, not conducive to the public good, when it's a matter of free speech, when it's a matter of hearing something that the government disagree with, a different opinion, in actual fact. I mean, that's all this is. The government does not think that you should be able to hear from people who have a different opinion to them. The 34-year-old commentator, this is Hassan Piker, had been due to speak at the South by Southwest London Festival on June 4th. So literally tomorrow. I mean, it's really short notice that they've done this in. For a panel titled How the American Left Learned to Speak the Internet. Mr. Piker confirmed on social media that his electronic travel authorization had been revoked. He wrote, "The UK has revoked my visa, all at the behest of Israel." I mean, the other side from this is that it does sort of prove his point, doesn't it? That these governments are occupied essentially by Zionist sympathisers, and that's why they do things like this, like banning him from speaking in Britain. It's because of his criticism of Israel. That's why they say that it's not conducive to the public good. He's quite correct in saying that as well, because the quote that we'll see from Keir Starmer at the end shows that this was because of his anti-Israel comments. Hassan continued, "The West is betraying liberal values for a genocidal fascist foreign government. Soon we will all become Israel." As I say, the silver lining to this is that they're actually seeing that the liberal value of free speech, and it's really wrong that people should be limited from sharing their opinions. But for the last 10 years, it's just been people on the right that were prevented from sharing their information. And now it's people on the left that are being prevented from sharing their information. And you never know. I mean, it might give them a little bit more sympathy for us on the right. They might say, well, OK, we might disagree with what you're saying, but we do back your right to be able to say it. That could be the silver lining to this, which I hope will happen. The commentator has previously faced criticism after saying he would vote for Hamas over Israel and describing Orthodox Jews as inbreds. And of course, they put that there, sensationalist, Hamas are this terrorist organization. But he's in America. I'm not sure Hamas are described as a terrorist organization in America. Hamas are a political party, aren't they? And they were voted for by the Gazans. They originally had backing by Israel. Israel gave them money so that they could set this party up. And then the Palestinians voted for them. So they are effectively the Palestinians' government. And yet we've decided that they're a terrorist organization. So when he says, "I would rather vote for Hamas over Israel," I mean, what he's effectively saying, I would rather vote for this political party rather than that political party. And when he describes Orthodox Jews as inbreds, I should imagine, again, if you look into the background of that, well, Jews marry other Jews. They're supposed to marry other Jews. That's particularly what the Orthodox Jews do. Other Jews that aren't so Orthodox will tend to marry the Goyim. If it's a Jewish woman that marries a Gentile husband, then the children are all considered to be Jewish. So that happens. But the Orthodox Jews themselves don't do that. The Orthodox Jews will only marry other Jews. So, I mean, maybe that could be the reason for this thing that he's saying there, inbreds. I mean, it just quotes it, just the one word. It doesn't tell you what the background to that one word was. So you don't know whether it was being used as a slur or whether it was being used as a factual statement. Mr. Piker has also previously said the US deserved the 9/11 terror attacks. Well, again, you would have to see the context of that quote. I mean, if he was talking about perhaps the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, all these sorts of issues, then perhaps he was saying America deserved to have something done similar to them. If America was going to make war on Iraq, say, and kill however many people it was that they killed in Iraq. I mean, that might have been his reason for saying that America deserved the 9/11 terror attack. So it's not a very nice thing to say. I certainly don't agree with that sentiment. But he should be allowed to say that. And because they don't give the context of this, you have to ask yourself, well, would he be likely to have said that at this festival? If he did say that at this festival, surely there would be some criticism of him for saying that, I would have thought. I mean, what is Keir Starmer saying? That we just don't have critical thought in Britain? We're not capable of critical thought on our own? That appears to be what he's implying. Last month, he reiterated comments that Hamas was 1,000 times better than Israel and that he would vote for Hamas over Israel every single time during an appearance on Pod Save America. So they're saying because he has a difference of opinion with the British foreign policy, and British foreign policy is to just support Israel no matter what, and because he says, well, I would prefer to support Hamas, then that's not conducive to the public good. We're not allowed to hear that some people actually support the opposing side in this Israel v. Palestine war. We're not supposed to know that. But of course, everybody does know that. And all these protests that go on in support of Palestine, they're trying to make it clear to everyone that the majority of the population does not approve of what Israel is doing. Yet, we're not mature enough to be able to decide for ourselves on which side we would rather our support went. He has denied being anti-Semitic, insisting in an interview with Variety that he is simply anti-Israel. I think that comes across in these comments because he's talking about Israel v. Hamas, isn't he? He's talking about political parties. He's talking about a state. He's not actually talking about individual Jews there. I mean, the one exception to that could have been that comment about Orthodox Jews being inbred. But again, you would have to see the context, because that could be in the instance of being a factual statement, or it could be an instance of a racial slur. Labour MP David Taylor had called for Mr. Piker to be prevented from entering the UK ahead of the event. I mean, I would be embarrassed if I was a politician and I was literally calling for people to be banned from entering the country because I disagreed with their opinion. And that's effectively what they're saying. I don't agree with your opinion, so you're not allowed to come speak to my people. Mr. Taylor said Mr. Piker was not conducive to the public good and urged the Home Office to revoke his travel authorisation. Community Security Trust also called on organisers to act responsibly and avoid giving Mr. Piker a platform. The Community Security Trust is a Jewish advocacy organisation. So, of course, they're not going to want people to be critical of Israel, and they're not going to want them to have a platform to be critical of Israel. So, and that's his opposition, effectively. And this is why he said at the beginning that this is at Israel's behest, that they have done this, that Britain has done this. I think that sort of proves it, really, that the Community Trust was calling on the organisers to not give him a platform in the first place. The Home Office also revoked the travel authorisation of left-wing activist Henk Wieger, Mr. Piker's uncle. Mr. Wieger, who had also been due to speak at South by Southwest London, has previously accused Israel of controlling the United States and described the country as genocidal, barbaric, and savage. Again, these are just criticisms of a country's actions. They're not discrimination against a group because of what skin colour they are, or discrimination against Jews as a group. I mean, he's talking about Israel here. He's talking about a country. He's saying that country appears to be controlling the United States. And I think about 95% of the world can see that Israel is controlling the United States. I mean, Donald Trump pretty much admitted that last summer when he went to Israel. He gave a big speech about how Miriam Adelson had given him millions of dollars to help him with his campaign, and in response to that, she had an open door into the White House at any time. She could tell him what she wanted. He would give her what she wanted. I mean, it was pretty obvious that Israel has a controlling influence over America. You couldn't really deny it. Yet, because he said that, they say, well, it's not conducive to the public good for him to speak to the British public. You're not allowed to voice what you can see going on in the modern world, are you? The move follows a government decision to block 11 foreign nationals described by Keir Starmer as far-right agitators from entering Britain ahead of a Tommy Robinson-led rally in London in May. Now, as I say, these so-called far-right agitators, they were all centre-right commenters, basically. One of them was a Polish MP. At the time, a spokesman for the Prime Minister said, "Those who threaten our communities and spread racism have no place on the streets of the UK." And, I mean, it doesn't really address the point, does he? Which is that these people have a different opinion to Mr. Starmer. Why is it that he is so intolerant of people with another opinion? Aren't we supposed to be a tolerant society, tolerant of people with views that are different to our own? That's not what we see our government be. That's not how we see our government behaving, though, is it? We see that our government is completely intolerant of anybody who has a different opinion to our government's opinion. Keir Starmer continued, "Where individuals pose a threat or seek to spread extremism, the government won't hesitate to deny entry." Well, how is it to pose a threat to have somebody say that they are anti-Israel? That's not a threat, is it? I guess if you subscribe to this idea that words themselves or hearing a different opinion to your own can actually cause harm, then you could say that it was a threat. I mean, there is this idea that just seeing a group of people that are opposed to Israel's action in Palestine causes harm to Jews because they fear for their safety as they walk past. So if you subscribe to that idea, then you can see that anybody can pose a threat, can't they, really? Really, you should just understand that you should be tolerant of people having a different opinion to yourself. And you should reach out to them and talk to them and discuss your ideas, because you might find that you have lots of other things in common with them. You might disagree over Israel, but you might agree on a lot of other issues. I'm sure if I was to talk to this Henk Wieger, I'd probably disagree with him on a lot of things, but I bet you I'd be able to find some things that we agreed on. And I think that's the best way to be. Be tolerant of other people's views and look for things that you may both agree on and take that as your starting point when conversing with them. Mr. Taylor welcomed the decision, saying it's good to see the Home Office take a tough stance against those who pose a serious risk to public order and community cohesion. Well, a serious risk to public order is the sort of thing that we saw happening in France over the weekend, with riots, looting, killing, theft, all taking place because of a football team winning a cup. That's a serious threat to public order. Hearing somebody voice a different opinion to your own, that's not a serious risk to public order, is it? I mean, the way that they use these words, I mean, they're guilty of crimes against the human language more than anything else, with the way that they use words to mean the opposite of what they're actually saying. At a time when anti-Semitism is at record levels, it is completely inappropriate to give someone with a history of inflammatory rhetoric such a high-profile platform. Yes, but it's... why is it Keir Starmer that's, or this Mr. Taylor that's saying that it's Britain that's giving him the platform? It's not. It's the owners of the festival. It's the South by Southwest festival. They were the ones that were going to give this man a platform. Surely it's their right to give whoever they want a platform to voice their opinions. And it shouldn't be up to people like Keir Starmer to say who you're allowed to listen to, who you're allowed to invite to your own private party, effectively. He said, "I hope the Home Secretary will now seriously consider using these powers against other speakers with a history of hateful speech who are set to appear at the festival." So they might well ban some others today, I guess. If the festival takes place tomorrow, they might start banning other people today. I just think it's so wrong that the government steps in and says you're not allowed to hear this person's opinions. As I say, it's like you organise a private party and the government tells you that you can't have your own private guests at your own private party. Well, as I said, we have another incident of banning that I want to get into, and this is on the right-hand side of things, and this is the Alternative for Deutschland party in Germany. And again, the article comes from GB News. The headline is, "Germany's AfD party, faces ban over failure to uphold EU values. Well, surely a prime EU value has to be democracy, and they themselves are not upholding the EU value of democracy if they're not going to allow this group to take part, even though they are massively popular in their home country. Germany's AfD party faces a ban and the potential loss of funding from the European Union's regulatory body over its failure to comply with EU values. Pascal Chouinard, director of the Authority for European Political Parties and Foundations, sent a 300-page letter to the Council of the European Union outlining evidence that casts doubt on the compliance with fundamental EU values. The process launched last Friday could ultimately result in the party losing its official status and access to European Parliament subsidies. The Europe of Sovereign Nations, which serves as the political home for Alternative for Deutschland, is set to receive more than €2 million in EU funding this year. The ESN party operates as a distinct legal entity from the political group within the European Parliament, which currently comprises 27 MEPs. Political groups function as parliamentary factions, whereas parties represent broader coalitions of national movements that receive direct funding from the EU budget. Alternative for Germany established both the party and the parliamentary group following the 2024 European elections. The alliance brings together several nationalist movements. These include Bulgaria's Revival, Eric Zemmour's Reconquest in France, Poland's Confederation, the Czech SPD, Hungary's Our Homeland Movement, the Netherlands' Forum for Democracy, and Slovakia's Republic Movement. Should the ESN lose its party status, AfD representatives would retain their parliamentary seats, but lack organisational support for future EU electoral campaigns and cross-border policy coordination. So they would have problems with mounting an election campaign to get back into the European Union Parliament again. This is so anti-democratic for them to do this because somebody disagrees with the opinions of the AfD, even though clearly their opinions have a lot of public support because people voted them in. Mr. Chouinard's letter presents court rulings alongside screenshots and social media posts from MEPs and party lawmakers as proof of violations documenting anti-immigration, anti-Semitic and anti-LGBT rhetoric. So this isn't anything that the party has officially done. They're effectively been looking at the social media posts from the members from this party, and they've literally used what they've said in a social media post, which is effectively just a comment that they've made. It's not an official party policy, to then claim that they should be banned from being a political party. And it just seems like the height of communism to me, that they would investigate your everything that you type, which is effectively every little thought that you have, in order to find evidence of thought crime to say that this party should be banned. Even though, I mean, the party policy might be very different from what the individual person believes. They may be part of the political party because they think that political party is going to do the best for them. They may not necessarily agree with every element of the party policy. But that doesn't seem to occur to this person. You know, I don't agree with everything that Restore say, but generally I agree with Restore, and generally I agree with Rupert Lowe, and I support them. But that doesn't mean to say that my comments should be taken as representative of Restore's policies at all. As I say, I don't agree with everything. And it must be the same with these AfD representatives. They may not, they may have different ideas about some things, but it's not as if this was official policy that they've been reported for. They've just been reported for their private comments. These include calls for remigration and the characterization of homosexuality as pedophilia. Well, again, there's no context for that, but if facts and figures were shown and statistics, well, what's wrong with that? surely we want to have policies that are based on reality rather than based on falsehoods. Among the evidence cited is a post from Tomasz Michał Grabarczyk, a Polish politician representing the Confederation New Hope Party. He wrote this month, "Israel is not just a criminal state. Israelis are a nation of criminals." The New Hope Party subsequently retweeted the message. The letter places particular emphasis on Bulgaria's Revival Party as well. Well, that's interesting that the New Hope Party tweeted that, and after they were reported for that, they retweeted it. So they're quite clear that they do not agree with Israeli policies. Now, they're saying that Israel is not just a criminal state, but Israelis are a nation of criminals. I mean, that is rather a generalization, but the Israeli state was voted in by the Israelis, and they haven't voted them out, have they? I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu's been the leader of the Israeli state for about 20 or 30 years now, which sort of shows that the Israelis in general approve of him if he's still in power. And Israel has been judged to have been broken international law by the United Nations. So they are a criminal state. So, I mean, what he's saying there, I mean, he should be allowed to say that. Surely he should be allowed to say that. Why are they saying that that goes against European Union values? It essentially goes against European values to have to have your own opinion, doesn't it, really? It alleges open cooperation with Vladimir Putin's United Russia and accuses it of orchestrating violent demonstrations in Sofia and attacks on the European Commission delegation in February 2025. Well, why shouldn't a party cooperate with a party in Russia? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with trying to seek peace between Europe and Russia? And when they say here, orchestrated violent demonstrations in Sofia, so they encouraged people to protest and the protest turned violent. You can't blame the organisers of a protest for the protesters becoming violent, can you? But that is effectively what they're saying here. The letter highlights a May 2025 decision by German intelligence services to classify Alternative for Germany as a right-wing extremist organisation, as well as a Cologne administrative court ruling that blocked that classification, but nonetheless determined the party programme was contrary to human dignity and freedom of religion. But they're not an extremist organisation, are they? They're not a right-wing extremist organisation, and the administrative court had to admit that as well. Where it says here, contrary to human dignity and freedom of religion, well, again, I would disagree with that. I would say that the RFD, they're a mild civic nationalist party. What they're concerned about is German dignity and the freedom of the German people. This is one of these problems that you have with human rights. If you're going to have something that is universal, you can't really have anything that's universal. Just the same as you can't have a one-size-fits-all T-shirt because everybody is a different size. You know, every people group is different. See, you can't just have blanket freedom of religion in Germany because the Germans themselves are Christian. You couldn't just have it taken over by Islam or taken over by Judaism. They might want to preserve their Christianity. I mean, why is that against the European Union values? I mean, that's they do allow freedom of religion in Germany, don't they? They allow people to be Muslims if they want to be Muslims. So I don't really understand that their party programme is contrary to human dignity and freedom of religion. Perhaps the freedom of religion bit is that they want to ban the burqa or something similar to that. But what happens if your religious expressions go up against public safety, for instance, with things like the burqa? And clearly public safety has to come first. These are not reasons to ban a party, especially not when that party has been elected by lots and lots of people. It's a popular party. It's because they are popular, that's why they're trying to ban them. ESN party president Stanislav Stoyanov told the APPF on May 4th, ESN has no mandate to intervene directly in the affairs of its member parties. However, we remain committed to upholding the core values of the European Union through constant dialogue with the related parties. And that's the important thing, you know, being tolerant of other people's opinions. Be tolerant of people having a different opinion. That's how you have a dialogue. Surely that's what civilization is based upon, is having a dialogue with other parties. And yet what the European Union is saying is, well, you're not allowed to have a dialogue if the dialogue contains a different opinion to my own. The European Parliament, Commission or Council may now request formal verification proceedings, after which a committee of eminent independent persons would issue recommendations before any final deregistration decision is taken. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there, if anything. And it's just a sad state of affairs, really, when people with a different opinion are banned from coming into your country. And if you have a different opinion and you've formed a popular political party, then they'll try and ban you from the European Union. It's like the enemy of the modern state is opinion, basically, is somebody having their own opinion. It's like they all want us to be regimented, just repeat what it is we're told to repeat rather than stinking for ourselves. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.